quote from St. Paul, the New Testament chapter, Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and the word Christ has its origin from the Greek Christos and the Latin Christus, meaning it's a noun use of the adjective anointed from crane, anoint, translating the Hebrew, the Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. Jesus is regarded by Christians as the Messiah of the Hebrew prophecies and the Savior of humankind. Continuing, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made by the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Unquote. The New Yorker article identifies what it calls the great errors or mistakes of Christianity, and cites the philosopher Kierkegaard, who was born in 1813 and died in 1855, a Danish philosopher, founder of existentialism, who affirmed the importance of individual experience and choice, and believed that one could know God only through a leap of faith, not through doctrine. Although, my comment, I think all three, Proudhon, Nicola, and Prince, would say that we know God, the infinite, through our experience, our bodies. Continuing, the New Yorker article uses Kierkegaard as Exhibit A to illustrate them. Quote, Kierkegaard says that Christianity's singularity lies in its understanding of sin. If that's true, it was Paul's singularity rather than Jesus's. And my comment will be exploring to the degree possible whether that's so in our next show. Continuing, the new theology transfers Judaism's healthy involvement in this life onto a palpitating anticipation of the next. The present becomes eternity's duller portal. What makes the kingdom so engrossing is this element of personal struggle. And I comment, this element of personal struggle is relevant to our work of harmonization. And so we want to understand, as it is necessarily the struggle of the authentic with the conditioning of class. So odd, these lives they make us lead. And mine is yours, though possibly more extreme. What's ours by gift of life, to let our minds roam free to find our fellows, our mates, these few, in lust for what they've lost, obsessed with their own issues of abandonment, would deny us. Continuing, what makes the kingdom so engrossing is this element of personal struggle, our sense that the agnostic author, and just for clarification, the word agnostic, the dictionary tells us, is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God or of anything beyond material phenomena. A person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. Unquote. What makes the kingdom so engrossing is this element of personal struggle, our sense that the agnostic author is looking over his shoulder at the armies of faith as they pursue him to the walls of rationality. That struggle plays out here over the two scandals, the two great offenses, to use Kierkegaard's favorite word, at the heart of the Christian message. The first is epistemological. That's to do with the theory of knowledge, especially with regard to its methods, validity, and scope. Epistemology is the investigation of what distinguishes justified belief from opinion. Continuing, the first offense is epistemological and has to do with the claim that Jesus is God made flesh and that he died and rose again from the dead. The notion of a fully human God who shares human weaknesses and frailties without any diminution of divinity is so outrageous that Christians anxiously police Christ's full humanity. But to the extent that Jesus' humanity is outrageous, then so is his divinity. And I'm going to come in here, and in walks Prince. So what do I mean by that? Answering that question requires thinking through all the issues being raised by this discussion, summed up, in a sense, in Wood's question, is Christianity just science fiction, a branch of fantastic literature? In our next show, we're going to be thinking through the question of whether the notion of persecution by the state for being what we are, along with the paired notion that it is essential that we be what we are, lies at the heart of the Christian message, of Jesus' message. Now, this is not how it was taught to me, of course, which omission is key to the state's interventionist strategy of claiming our bodies.
It was 7:45, we were on the line. You greet your teacher, Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy. Third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood in the back of the line, smiled beneath her nose. Favorite number was 23, every single day. If you ask her what you had for breakfast, this is what she said. Come on! Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, side order of ham. If you set your mind free, babe, maybe you'd understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Oh!